Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours, 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe. On this first Sunday, January 4th, 2015, you are listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening live from Washington. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Amongst our top stories this evening, the Harare City Health Director, Dr. Prosper Chonzi, says his council will soon be allocating vendors stalls on the empty patch of land near the Harare Conference Center, recently used for the ZANU-PF National Congress.
We have identified a few places where vendors can operate, but the biggest one is the one where the ZANU-PF Sixth National Congress was held, close to the showground there.
The Zimbabwe Farmers Union welcomes the move by government to help resuscitate the cotton industry, which supports over 350,000 households countrywide.
The cotton industry supports well over 350,000 households, and nobody can afford to ignore those numbers. Especially, we know that their livelihoods are derived out of, you know, cotton. So it is a very important and welcome development.
The leader of the National Constitutional Assembly, NCA, Professor Lovemo Maduku, says he foresees a bleak political future for the country in 2015 as ZANU-PF continues its rule.
In 2015, we don't expect any changes. In 2015, we expect 2015 to be a year when most people now would realize that this country does not have a prosperous future with ZANU-PF in government.
And as usual, we have the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo. The Harare City Health Director, Dr. Prosper Chonzi, says his council will soon be allocating vendors a stall on the empty patch of land near the Harare Conference Center, recently used for the ZANU-PF Congress. Dr. Chonzi tells us more.
We have identified a few places where vendors can operate from, but the biggest one is the one where the ZANU-PF Sixth Congress was held, close to the showground there. That area is huge, it can accommodate a lot of people. So the City Council, in conjunction with the Vendors Association, has identified that as the main area where most of the vendors will be operating from. The advantage with this is that there's been a lot of engagement between the City Council and the vendors through their association, and they've in principle agreed to move to that place. And the city has to do a bit of work on it to put shelters, ablution facilities and all. But I think that will go a long way in assisting those people that need to be carrying out vending activities, but also in cleaning up the city and also regulating. Because if people are at a place where we know that they are, then we can always move in and inspect places, address issues of water and sanitation, and be able to prevent some of these unfortunate conditions.
When are you hoping this new vending site will become operational?
So we're hoping that we'll be able to move people to that place by the beginning of January. And the city and the associations are really moving together on this one. They are making joint press statements and they are still engaging some of the vendors. So we hope that it will be a more lasting solution to our vending problem in Harare.
Meanwhile, Dr. Chonzi reminded the public to remain vigilant, especially in areas like Budiriro and Glenview, where four cases of typhoid were reported last week. Dr. Chonzi urged the public to look out for early symptoms of the bacterial disease, largely transmitted by ingesting food or water contaminated with human waste from an infected person. Dr. Chonzi tells us more.
Typhoid is a very vague sort of disease. The symptoms range from headache, general body weakness, fever. You can have constipation or you can have diarrhea, general body pains. And when you see that happening, then you should suspect, especially if you're living in the areas that we're talking about, Budiriro, Glenview, and you have not been having constant supply of water, or you have somebody in your household who has been diagnosed with having typhoid and you share the same ablution facility. Those are the kind of symptoms. But the cardinal signs would be a fever. Most likely you'll be running a fever, 39.3 and above. So we expect that people suspect that they've tested early enough before they develop complications. When they develop complications, some of the complications are actually quite difficult to deal with because they can perforate if you stay long, can have bowel perforation, and then it moves from being a medical condition to a surgical one.
But Dr. Chonzi, most of the causes you are mentioning actually should be addressed by the city council. What is your department doing to ensure that other departments within the city council are taking action to make sure that refuse is collected, that the water is cleaned, and that if the vending problems that you're talking about are addressed?
I think in terms of addressing the water challenge, because that's really where the crux is. Something is happening. At least there are some areas that are now getting water from the rehabilitation of Modern Jaffa. So the Chinese loan, those things are now beginning to bear fruit. But these things have not been attended to for a long time. The distribution network underground is so porous now that you get leaks here and there, and those leaks are getting into disinfection. So we need a total revamp for the distribution system. We also need total upgrade of the Modern Jaffa waterways and the other. Then that's the treated water, but we also have challenges in the raw water that we are getting. Well, if you don't treat water or sewer water, say from Cobra or Fairway, you will get poor quality raw water getting into our water sources. And it takes a lot more to treat water that is contaminated. So the city right now at least is addressing the issue of the water in terms of production at Modern Jaffa, and also they are addressing the issue of distribution using the 144 million from the Chinese. Refuse collection, yes, is still a challenge, but they've acquired the 46 refuse vehicles, which are now being parked at the various district offices. So each ward will have a vehicle dedicated to that ward for refuse collection. But there are other issues to do with recycling, separation at source. So a lot of education is going into that, a lot of health promotion material is going into that.
That was the Director of Health in the Harare City Council, Dr. Prosper Chonzi in Harare. The Zimbabwe Farmers Union welcomes the move by government to help resuscitate the cotton industry, which supports over 350,000 households countrywide. Agriculture, Mechanization and Irrigation Minister Dr. Joseph Made announced that the government will increase its support to cotton farmers with the aim of improving yield and quality. Zimbabwe Farmers Union Director Paul Zakaria tells Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri the move is welcome.
The announcement by government is a welcome announcement, and every right-thinking Zimbabwean would want to support that strategy that the government has introduced. The cotton industry supports well over 350,000 households, and nobody can afford to ignore those numbers, especially we know that their livelihoods are derived out of cotton. So it is a very important and welcome development. The only thing with that is instead of having these short-term plans, we need to put in place long-term plans, 10 to 15 years, and plans that we look at and say they are wholesomely crafted to develop a whole industry. You develop an industry in one season, you will need to look at a span of seasons so that you then learn from your mistakes and develop as you go. So we need that template. We need that blueprint, which looks at 10 years and beyond of how we can develop the industry as it is.
Is it not too late to plant this product?
In fact, the rains, as we speak in Zimbabwe, the rains came late. We can't blame anybody for that. That is actually God's doing. So the rains came a bit late, and for most parts of the country, the rains started falling this Christmas break. And so we will only encourage farmers to plant and to keep praying, cross their fingers, that the rains would continue and that God somehow will take us through the season.
That was the Zimbabwe Farmers Union Director Paul Zakaria speaking with Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri from Harare. The leader of the National Constitutional Assembly, NCA, Professor Love Momaduku, says he foresees a bleak political future for the country in 2015 as ZANU-PF continues its rule. Dr. Maduku says his own party will host its National Congress later this year. Dr. Maduku gives us his perspective on how he sees 2015 shaping up politically.
In the political area, there was a very uneventful year. In fact, if anything has to be said, one must quickly forget 2014. It was a year where we were dominated by ZANU-PF, which had just won elections in 2013. But ZANU-PF used 2014 to do what it called its own internal fight. But those internal fights were very ugly, completely not good for any party, and also not good for the country. That's the year, of course, we now know, Nissim Zuru was fired, close to half the cabinet, and the cabinet fired. Then we have all those internal fights. We now have new vice president who do not seem to be inspiring anything. I mean, Mnangagwa has nothing to offer to the country and so on. So it was a very bad year politically.
You have been critical of the ZANU-PF party or ZANU-PF's rule. Do you see this changing in 2015?
In 2015, we don't expect any changes. In 2015, we expect 2015 to be a year when most people now would realize that this country does not have a prosperous future with ZANU-PF in government. It is actually the year 2015 when we must all realize that we must not put any faith in ZANU. ZANU-PF has no capacity. That's what we can see happening. I mean, 2014 was showing that decline. We'll see it more in 2015, if ZANU-PF remains the only party that is in office.
That was the leader of the National Constitutional Assembly, NCA, Professor Love Momaduku, speaking with Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri. This is Studio 7, live from the Voice of America in Washington. We're going out to you on the 4930, 4940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies and on the 909 medium wave or AM frequency. And now we go to the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues today. I'm gladly joined with a Zimbabwean artist. His name is Tawanda, but goes by the name T1 Wema 1. Tawanda, thanks so much for joining me today on the Youth Forum.
Thank you, Tatenda, for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you here now. T1 Wema 1, where did that come from? How did you get your name?
Well, T1 Wema 1. T1 is short for Tawanda. Well, most of my friends call me T1. Wema 1, this kind of like stems from experiences that I encounter in my life, experiences my friends go through and stuff like that.
And you just dropped your latest single, Anochera Angoda, which is featuring Zimbabwean singer Tinashe Makura. Tell me more about that track.
There's actually a funny backstory to it. I was in a car with this friend of mine, and then he had his friend in the car. And his friend was talking about how he was going out with this girl, and he actually used to pay her rentals, buy her groceries, and then eventually she dumped him for another guy who was wealthier than him. So we got to talking about the whole thing, and we talked about like different experiences that people go through in similar situations.
And how has the response been from people who've been hearing the track?
Well, to be honest, there's been like a mixed reaction. There's some people who like the song, particularly guys, although there's some girls who like it as well.
It's an interesting, I guess, topic, you know, in terms of the young culture in Zimbabwe when it comes to that idea, you know. I thought it was interesting. I mean, it's a perspective from one side. Of course, the different sides are going to feud about, you know, what's right, but it's kind of an opening perspective of what's going on.
And, you know, I think you did mention that it kind of like has a one-sided dimension to it. That's actually like one of the things I was thinking about when I was putting together the track, like during the lyric writing process. I kind of like tried to, you know, explore different aspects. I tried to balance it out, so to speak, particularly on the third verse. I kind of shifted from focusing on the gold digger, like this particular character I'm talking about in the song, and then it started going at fictitious guy who's going out with this gold digger.
And of course, you have some other track. You have another one, Titty 2. No teams, no friends, no crew. Baby,
Titty Fara, Titty 2, said do. Titty 2 is the track that's focusing on this particular couple that's going out, and they've decided on this particular night to leave their friends. They're not going to hook up with their friends. It's just going to be the two of them on the dance floor having a good time. Titty 2 was actually my debut track. That was the first track that I put out, and it featured Anon Zizander, who's my producer as well. It actually came out well, and it was widely accepted for a debut track.
And how has it been, you know, as an artist? Because, of course, looking at the Zimbabwean landscape, there are a lot of different artists. You know, there's some that are making money, there are others who are trying. But, you know, there's the issue of things like piracy, the issue of things like, you know, sharing music. How is that landscape for you, and how have you been seeing it as an artist?
First and foremost, I was a listener before becoming an artist. It's kind of I got into the whole music making process with prior knowledge about how the industry works, and well, some of it you actually learn along the way, but I kind of like anticipated, you know, stuff like piracy, for instance. It's a problem that is prevalent. You get people duplicating CDs and then selling them for a tenth of their actual value on the street. So you find that as a coping mechanism, a lot of artists actually rely on live performances as opposed to CD sales. CD sales now are actually just meant for, you know, creating a fan base.
And so, you know, moving forward as an artist, you know, what are your hopes?
For me, I'm coming from a perspective where music making is like a passion for me. So to get to a point where people are enjoying my music and they're looking forward to the next T1 Wema 1 release, that's going to be like really amazing for me.
Tawanda, I do want to thank you very, very much for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Tatenda.
And again, that's Tawanda, T1 Wema 1, joining me today on the Youth Forum. This is Tatenda Gumbo, and make sure you join me next week.
That there was a collaboration between Fungisai and Ja Praiser with Gore Rapera, ringing in the new year for us there. This is Studio 74 Zimbabwe, coming to you live from the Voice of America in Washington. Now to recap on today's top stories. The Harare City Health Director, Dr. Prosper Chonzi, says his council will soon be allocating vendors stalls on the empty patch of land near the Harare Conference Center, recently used for the ZANU-PF Congress. And the Zimbabwe Farmers Union welcomes the move by government to help resuscitate the cotton industry, which supports over 350,000 households worldwide. That was the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, January 4th, 2015. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington, wishing you a happy and prosperous new year. Have a pleasant evening and a very good night and a great week ahead.